followers of Jesus are called to guard the truth of sound gospel teaching and support those who faithfully proclaim the truth.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
I want to start off today by asking you a couple of questions here. The first one is this. As you think about your life, think about all that you have. Think about the material possessions that you have. I ask you this question here. What is your most valuable material possession? You know, sometimes a little game people play is that imagine that there was a fire in your home. We hope that never happens to anyone here. But if there was a fire in your home, and all of the people in your home were out, and yes, your pets, because I know besides the people, we want our pets out then, right? So all the people and pets, they're all out of the house then, but you were able then to take one thing out of your home. What material thing would you take? What do you think? Someone, you want to, I see a couple lifting up their Bibles. Okay, that's a good answer. That's an excellent answer. Jim, what would you take?
My hat.
Your hat, all right. You would take your hat. And Maureen said, what? What is that all about? Yeah. All right, so we have a Bible, a hat. What about you, Jerry?
My wife.
Your wife. Well, she's already out. Yeah, okay, so she's out. Yeah. So she can't. I think Robin is a person. Does Robin count as a person? Yeah, so she's out. Yeah. So, yeah. What's that, Sandy?
His wedding album.
His wedding album. There you go. Now, okay, Robin's going to be... She wouldn't have been very happy then if you didn't think of her as a person. I think you did, though. But she'd be very happy that you'd take the wedding album. Okay. So your glasses. Okay. All right. So those are all some good answers. As I thought about it, I think those are excellent answers there. But I have to admit, I'm a little bit ashamed to say that. You know what I'd have to say for me it would be? Probably this thing right here. Just the phone. Admit it. I'm one of those people that finds myself constantly, you know, looking at this throughout the day. You know what I'm talking about? And anybody else here relate, constantly looking at it, checking your email, checking messages, seeing what's going on in sports and all that kind of stuff? Yep, it would probably be the phone. My life, unfortunately, is in that phone there, isn't it? So I think that would probably be my most valuable material possession there would be that I could take out of the house in a hurry there. But that's one thing to talk about those kinds of things. Here's a bigger question, though, that I want to ask in relation to that. Speaking of the things that we value and why we value them, this question would be this. What do you value more than anything else in life? You know, I think sadly for some people it might be a material possession, something like a phone or something like that, right? Things can be good when they are received with joy and with thanksgiving, right? Used properly. But those aren't the most valuable things in life. What do you value more than anything else in life? You might say, well, it's my wife, my kids, my husband, my family, those kinds of things. Okay, well, that's good, but is that as wonderful as family is that what we should value more than anything else in life? I don't think so. I think the most valuable thing of all in life to value is Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. It's our hope of eternal life in Him. What is more valuable than eternal life? Nothing, right? Jesus Christ, the gospel message, the hope of the gospel is the most valuable thing that we have. It is the most valuable thing that has been entrusted to us. And it is the most valuable thing that we must guard above all else. You know, I'm sure a lot of us here, we have a checking account, savings account, safe deposit boxes. We put valuable things in those because, they're precious to us and we don't want to lose those things. So we guard them. But what should we guard more than any savings, more than any jewelry we might put in a safe deposit box? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the hope of eternal life. That is more valuable than anything else in life. So as we continue our series then today in 2 Timothy, we're seeing once again this theme of faithfulness in hardship. Faithfulness in hardship. And here we must guard the truth, protect the truth of the gospel. Watch over it carefully. Today we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, where there we see there that followers of Jesus, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus are called to guard the truth of sound gospel teaching and support those who faithfully proclaim the truth. So before we look at our passage here, then a little context for us. First off, as Paul, this is the Apostle Paul writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy. And these are some famous last words of the Apostle Paul here, his last writings here before he would die as a martyr for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was heavy persecution of the church. This was in the time of a persecution under the Roman Emperor Nero. Paul is in prison in a cold, dark dungeon. He is awaiting his sentence of death here, and he knew that that time was near. And so he is writing to Timothy here to encourage him to be faithful, to stand firm, to be faithful in hardship, in threat, in danger, no matter what. Stand firm, be faithful. Timothy and others were facing many challenges, persecution, false teaching there in the church. But also there were some intimidating people in the church too. Timothy was a young man. He was a little intimidated by some of the older persons in the church. But Paul says, stand firm and guard this good deposit that has been given to you. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Paul says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. So here, as we look at our text here, the first thing I want us to see, what Paul is saying to Timothy and what applies to us here then today as well, is that we need to follow the pattern. Follow the pattern. He says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Followers of Jesus then are called to hold fast, to hold on rock solid to the sound words, to the sound teaching, to right doctrine. Now, as he is writing this to Timothy, as he refers to Scripture, that would certainly include what we would call the Old Testament, right? Those are the sound words, sound teaching. But it also then would refer to the newer Scriptures now, the New Testament, which was even then now still being written and collected. And so Paul, as an apostle of Christ Jesus then, was used by the Lord then to bring revelation, the Scriptures, the New Testament Scriptures, a good portion of it, to the people of God. And so, Timothy, you have heard me. You have heard the teaching. You have seen and read the writings here. And you must hold firm to this sound teaching, the sound teaching of Old Testament truth, but also then the sound teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, what he has done, what we must do in response to that, and how then we are to live. This is the pattern. This is the pattern of sound words that he, Timothy, had seen and heard in Paul. It's right doctrine, absolutely. But it isn't just right doctrine, it is also right living. It isn't enough to simply know what this says, to know what it teaches. As important as that is, it's also critically important that what? That we do what it says, that we live in faith, in obedience to what it's saying. You know, just earlier this morning, we started this new class here on Wonder Lake Bible Institute in the book of Revelation. And we are in the section here in chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation, where it's these letters to the churches there. These were seven historic churches, local churches at the time. And this was a message from Jesus Christ to each of these churches. And it is amazing. Some of the things there, oftentimes he would have a word of commendation, but then also a word of rebuke for a number of them. And isn't it amazing that that very first one in Ephesus, when you read through there, all the things that Jesus commends them for, I mean, they were faithful in persecution. They were holding fast to right doctrine. They were a discerning church. They were calling out false teaching and false apostles who had come in among them. They were standing firm. They were doing good works. That all sounds fantastic, right? And it is. Jesus commends them for it. But he had something against them, though. What was it? They had lost their love. Their love for him. They did not love him in the way that they once did. And so all of those things were commendable, but he also wanted them to love him the way they once had. And so it's not enough in following the path to simply know the right words, to know right doctrine. We need to follow it. We need to be obedient to it. Be faithful to it. And in so doing, it's a demonstration of our love. Of our love for God, of our love for the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, what? If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my word. We'll be obedient. Follow that pattern. So I think here in the case of Timothy here, he had these sound words of Paul, which we have in the scriptures here, in the writings of Paul. But he had also, up close and personally, been there with Paul in his teaching and his preaching. And so he saw and knew not just what Paul said and taught, but he saw how he lived it. How he lived it out. He had a great example. Do you all here have a mentor, a spiritual mentor in your life? Someone who has been really important in your life, who is an example to you? And I wonder, when you think about that person, that mentor, do you just think about right doctrine? Right doctrine that you learned, perhaps, in part, how they opened up the scriptures and helped you to understand right doctrine, sound words? Sure, that's a part of that, but I bet more important, though, than just the right words, it was what? It was how they lived, their example. And that was a big part of what touched you and touched your life. So it says, "What? Follow the pattern. Be obedient to the word of God. It's our attitudes. It's our thought pattern. It's our words, what we say. It's our behavior. That all of these things are to be in conformity then with the word of God. And it is to be done in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." I think he's saying that we are to have faith, and the faith that is in Christ Jesus, it's faith that this is God's word, that this is true. To have faith in the truthfulness of God's word, but then also it is love. It's the kindness and compassion that comes from holding up and teaching the truth of God's word. I always like this expression, love and truth. I think as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to live out love and truth. And you, we have to have both of them, right? They're not mutually exclusive. We have to have both of them. We need to stand for truth, the truth of God's word, but we need to do so in love. Sometimes folks can so emphasize one to the exclusion of it that they lose something very important then. Some folks are so committed to love, what they understand to be love, that they lose truth. And the next thing you know, they're teaching and believing things that are not in alignment with what God says is true. But then we can also have the case where there are folks who are so committed to the truth, holding up the truth, that they lose love. They lose love for people, even love for God. Can you believe that? Is that possible? Can someone hold up this truth so firmly but not love God? Well, according to Jesus, the answer is yes, they can, because that's what he rebukes the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2 for that. So love and truth follow the pattern of sound words. And then he also says, Timothy, guard the good deposit. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Here's something that I think will bring a little further light on this verse here for us. In those days, as Paul was writing this to Timothy, they did not have banks like we have. They did not have safe deposit boxes like we have today. Now, some of you, how many of you have a safe deposit box? Okay. Our church has a safe deposit box. And what do we put? We put valuable things, sometimes valuable documents, for example, might go in there. Or sometimes maybe there's a special piece of jewelry, a family heirloom of some kind, perhaps, that you have put into this safe deposit box. So you give that. You entrust this treasure you have, this value. You entrust it to the bankers and the safe deposit boxes. You entrust them to guard that deposit for you, don't you? Well, they didn't have, in those days, safe deposit boxes to do that. So what would they do if someone then had a valuable item of some kind and they were going to be going on a long trip? They would entrust that to a good friend or neighbor, someone they could trust. They would give that to them to hold on to it, to guard the deposit that was given while they went off on this long trip. And I think with that background here, what Paul is saying to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I'm going on a long trip. What's he referring to? His death, right? And so now I am calling on you to guard this good deposit. Keep a hold of it, protect it. What is the good deposit? It's the gospel, right? It's Jesus Christ, the message of hope. So guard this good deposit of the gospel, of God's truth. Guard this valuable thing. Now, it wasn't just Timothy who was called to guard the good deposit. Who else has been given a good deposit of the gospel? All of us. All of us as believers in Jesus Christ must protect that and protect it carefully. Why? Because it is the most valuable thing of all. Remember we said at the beginning here, we asked, what's your most valuable material possession? What would you take out of the house in that fire? So, okay, but what is your most valuable possession or the most valuable thing of all in life is it's eternal life. It's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Now, I have not earned this good deposit. Jesus did it all for me. But he has entrusted this good deposit to me to hold fast and to what? To share that with others. To share that message with others. And we have to guard it carefully. Are there threats out in the world to the gospel message? Lots, right? Are there threats to the gospel message not only out in the world, but sometimes is that threat come from within the church? Sometimes that's an even more dangerous threat, isn't it? Is when the threat to the gospel comes from within the church, the visible church. So it says, Timothy, guard it. Take care to guard the doctrines of the gospel, to hold firm and fast to the gospel truth. Now, this is a whole other message, a whole other series of messages in itself, but we might say, okay, well, what is the gospel? Well, the short answer is it's the good news, right? But it's the good news of what? That through faith in Jesus Christ, in his life, his death, and his resurrection from the grave, through faith, trust in him, is the forgiveness of our sin, the gift of eternal life, blessing forever. That's the heart of the gospel right there, right? But people have twisted and distorted it. First of all, there's opposition, plenty of opposition that comes from the world against that gospel, right? From the world and the devil. But sometimes, even within the church, that gospel message gets twisted and distorted, doesn't it? And the purity of the gospel is lost. And then suddenly, then it becomes something entirely different. It becomes a different gospel. Paul even warns what he warns elsewhere. He says, he warns against those who come preaching another gospel. Other gospels are being preached in churches all around America and the world today, aren't they? So guard the doctrines of the gospel. I think that's part of what it means, is guarding that truth, holding firmly to that. But I think there's another element of guarding this deposit, though, is it means it's guarding our lives as well. Elsewhere, Paul warns Timothy, what, to guard your life, to take care, to look out for your life here. The gospel isn't just a set of doctrines to be believed in our brains. It's what? It's a vital living relationship of trust in God. It's a faithfulness and obedience to what he has said in his word. It's about a changed life. So we need to guard that as well. Don't just guard the doctrine, guard your life too, Timothy. In the same way, we need to not only guard the doctrine, we need to guard our lives too. Are we living out what we say we believe here? Who is a hypocrite? Do we have any hypocrites in the church here today? All right. All right. All right. I'm going to put my hand up there for that one too. If by hypocrite you mean that there are times when you don't always live what you believe right here, who's guilty is charged. All right? That's what I mean when I say hypocrite by that. Now, when the Bible talks about hypocrite, I hope I'm not. I hope none of us are. You know, that it's because in the Bible, that's a little different thing there. You know, that's someone who's, it's a lifestyle of living at odds with what you say you believe here, okay? But we all fail, don't we? We all need grace like rain falling down, don't we? Every day. So we need to guard the doctrine of the gospel, guard our lives. And when we get it wrong, and I have, and we all do, we need to confess and repent, don't we? Follow the pattern, guard the good deposit. But then also we see something else here in the text today. We need to also then support the persecuted, support those who are guarding the deposit entrusted to them. Because living out a faithful life in Jesus Christ invites opposition, doesn't it? From the world, from the devil, sometimes even from some within the church. So look what he says here. Verse 15 says, "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me." Again, Paul was being persecuted. He was front and center on the front lines here of the church and the gospel and proclaiming the gospel. And now here he was now in prison in Rome, about to be sentenced to death. And where were his friends? His co-workers in the ministry. A lot of them had deserted him. Verse 15, "You are aware that all who were in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Now, we don't know a lot about these two, but I think it's likely that probably Phygellus and Hermogenes were men who had worked with Paul, who had shown promise, perhaps in some leadership capacity of some kind. But when the heat got turned up, when the persecution was intense, when it got dangerous to proclaim the gospel, when it got dangerous to even be associated with Paul, where were they? Gone. But it wasn't everyone. There was another man, Onesiphorus, says verse 16, "May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. So he was encouraging to Paul. He would help to meet some of the practical needs of Paul. But also, he was not ashamed of my chains, meaning what? That he was there with them through thick and thin, and even when he was in prison, he was there. And in fact, when he was imprisoned in Rome, what did Onesiphorus do? He went and sought him out. He looked for him to find, hey, where is he? Where's he being held? To go and to visit him. Was that dangerous for Onesiphorus to do that? You bet it was, because it identified him as one of those people. And he could have found himself in chains right next to Paul in that dungeon. But there he was. He did not let that deter him. So he was helpful then. So he says, but when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. And may the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. He's praying that he is going to receive the blessing and mercy and reward of God at the judgment seat. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. So Paul is saying to Timothy, follow the pattern, guard the good deposit, support those like him. He says that to Timothy, but he also says it to you and me then here today. I suggested at the beginning of our series here in 2 Timothy that this, well, along with 1 Timothy and Titus as well, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus are what's called the pastoral epistles. They have a great deal to say about spiritual leadership as Paul teaches and preaches to and instructs Timothy and Titus. But I would suggest that these aren't just for pastors or just isn't for spiritual leaders. It's for all, that there are lessons in this about spiritual maturity and leadership, that all followers of Jesus are called to spiritual maturity, aren't we? And many of us have a place or a role of some kind of leadership, don't we? And this book, 2 Timothy, along with Titus and 1 Timothy, it's like practically every verse is just dripping with instruction and example for us in spiritual maturity and leadership. And so I challenged you last week, and I'm going to put it out there again this week. As we are going through this, I want you to take that text here that we read from week to week and just study to see if you can find some principles or lessons in spiritual maturity and leadership there. What did we end up with last time? And that was something like 14 or something like that in just those first verses there in the book. Well, here then, I'll help you out a little bit here. This is what I say. I think we've already discussed them here today, but just in these few verses here, we see that spiritually maturing persons, they're obedient to Scripture. They guard gospel truth and they support persecuted believers. Those are just a few things then that we can draw from this today. So I'd encourage you to do that for yourself then, to study that. See if you can find principles then in there for you. So what? What should I do with this today as we've looked upon this? What can I take away from this? How does it apply to me here today, you might be wondering? Well, I'd start, take us back to where we started. So that followers of Jesus are called to guard the truth of sound gospel teaching and to support those who faithfully proclaim the truth. So it asks, do you understand and value the gospel above all else? Do you know how to explain what the gospel is? What is it? And then do you value that above all else? As followers of Jesus, there is nothing more precious, is there, than the gospel, than Jesus himself, our hope of eternal life in him. So do you value that? Do you value him? And it isn't just, it's not a gospel, a doctrine, it's a person, isn't it? It's Jesus. Do you value Jesus more than anything else? So do you understand that? Do you value that above all else? But here would be the critical question for us, and we need this. Do you practice spiritual discernment? What do we mean by discernment, spiritual discernment? means to listen carefully and to look carefully at what people are preaching or teaching, what they're doing, and to say, is that in alignment with the gospel? Is that in alignment with the pattern of sound teaching that is here in the Word of God? You know, there was one particular group of believers, a particular city in the in the book of Acts, that were known for being very diligent to practice discernment. And they were from the town of where? Berea. They were the Bereans, right? They heard Paul teaching and they said, so what did they do? They went and they said, they looked in the scriptures to see if this of what Paul was saying was true. And that's what we need to be doing today. Because I said, the threat to the gospel isn't just from outside. Sometimes it even arises from within the church. And so we need to be careful about that. Practice discernment. Could give you a long list, unfortunately, of persons of names that have advocated and have taught historically and now things that may sound like Christianity, but it isn't. Practice spiritual discernment then. And then finally, then, what do you support others who are guarding the gospel? I think it's praying for persecuted believers, praying for the persecuted church. Did you know that, if you didn't already know this, I want to point it out to you now and challenge you to do that. I just love to give you challenges here, don't I? But you got your homework here on this for the spiritual leadership principles. But here's the other thing. In praying for persecuted believers, we know we should do that, but it can be helped. That's a very general thing to say. Isn't it helpful to have a specific name or face or situation to think of, to know about, to pray for? I like to do that. In the glass case there, out in the lobby area there, there is a section where it says to pray for the persecuted church. You see that map there? And I like to post little stories there, generally about once a week. I'll put a different one up there once every week or two. And it's a brother or a sister in Christ that is being persecuted for their faith. And so it's a specific situation how you can pray. So I'd encourage you to just take a look at that. See that, read that, and pray for that person. Pray for that need. So that's one way to support others who are guarding the gospel. But here's another way, and I didn't tell them about it, but I'm going to do it anyway. We are blessed here in this church to have a couple of our members who are very actively engaged in the ministry of discernment, of spiritual discernment. And that is Don and Joy Vino. It's called Midwest Christian Outreach, and they help people that are coming from backgrounds, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, New Age religions, all kinds of things like that. And so but what is, I think, most troubling then, I know, for Don and Joy, is sometimes when they see things that are happening within the church, we would think solid churches that begin to allow things that are at odds with biblical truth to come in and begin to influence them. I know that breaks Don and Joy's hearts. It should break all of our hearts. And so they have a wonderful ministry then of discernment in that. So if you do not know about them, I'd encourage you to get to know them. Why don't you raise your hands? If you don't know Don and Joy, right there. There they are right there. You get to know them. And they have a little weekly newsletter and some ways that a website, and you can even give them to help support them financially in the ministry of Midwest Christian Outreach. That is a great practical way to do that. So I'd encourage you, get to know them, get to know that ministry there. And I appreciate them, and I appreciate the challenge to me. I always like to say sometimes to Don, not all the time, but oftentimes I'll come up to Don afterwards. So Don, any heresy today in that sermon? And that, right? So any heresy today, Don? How am I doing today? All right?
Not so far.
I've still got about 30 seconds here, though, so watch out for me, right? Yeah. So encourage you then to do that then, to support those then who are guarding the gospel then. So with that then, let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you that we have been given this good deposit of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the hope of life, eternal life in him, in his name. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to guard this deposit entrusted to us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful then too to support those who are doing so. May we always be faithful. May this church remain rock solid faithful to you, Lord, not only in doctrine, but in right practice. May we follow that pattern, not only in belief, but in our practice as well. And may we be well-pleasing to you, Lord Jesus, we pray. And it's in His name we pray all these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.